Beryl's Tristan. It was the spring of my second year at university, and medieval literature was on the menu. So far, I had enjoyed it, even though reading the 11th century French of La Chanson de Roland had been a struggle. And I had found there was only so much sword-wielding and chopping off of limbs that I could stomach. Then one day, my tutor, with a look on his face as of one about to offer me a choice wine, said, "Now we will start on Beryl's Tristan." What came next changed my life. I was already familiar with Wagner's operatic version, Tristan und Isolde, and had formed some notions about the story and its treatment. So the text which confronted me was a shock. I do not mean having to get to grips with the Anglo-Norman French of the 12th century, a wood into which I was by now very happy to plunge, savouring the familiar strangeness of it. No, it was the force of the language, its directness, its unadorned depiction of the psychology and conflicted emotions of adulterous love, male friendship and loyalty, deception, political rivalries, fear of betrayal, and death. The backdrop is a community which is still not far removed from the peasantry, and whose surroundings are homespun. There are no simpering, wimple-clad ladies of the court, nor virginal knights here. Instead, Tristan sleeps in the same room as the king and queen, and is so overcome with desire for his lover, he leaps across into Isert's bed, dripping blood from a wound sustained during a boar hunt the day before. The baking flour spread as a trap between the two beds betrays him. In a later episode, he and Isert spend months living off the woods, whiling away the days in paradisial bowers evocative of spring. They even have his faithful dog, Udon, as their companion. When they do attempt reconciliation with King Mark, the ingenuity and, one has to say, desperation they display in trying to circumvent the oath of fidelity Isert has to swear is both breathtaking and comic. Tristan, disguised as a leper, carries her piggyback across a ford, engineering a fall so that she can say, "No man ever lay between her thighs but her husband. Oh, and that leper you all saw today." It's all a far cry from Wagner's Liebestod. Beryl's Tristan, then, introduced me to a world which was concrete, physically very present, and peopled with personalities who were many-faceted, glorious and sinful, vengeful and magnanimous, all at once. The 12th century came dramatically alive for me, and has remained so. As a direct consequence, I spent a summer in France exploring the wealth of Romanesque churches there, and entering the spiritual landscapes of those who built them. I discovered the letters of Abelard and Heloise, and years later wrote my long poetic sequence, In a Valley of This Restless Mind, based on their story. None of this would have happened without my encounter with Beryl's Tristan. The wine my tutor had offered me was a rich one indeed.